This is Sam from the Masculine Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk. The truth is, I can't hide it,
I can't hold it. A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Your family's faith today on Truth Talk Live. How did your family's faith affect yours? I would love to hear your story. You know, maybe it was your grandfather used to sit on his lap and he told you Bible stories, or maybe it was your mother's faith that she prayed for you. Or you know, how did your family's faith affect yours? The number to call in and share that, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. Boy, we got a story to share with you. We got Kevin Nye winning with us. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
And when you hear Kevin's story, I think that you'll be touched forever. I know I have been by what I'm familiar with that. But before we get to that, you know, interestingly, you may know that I'm pastor at West Asheboro Baptist Church in Asheboro, North Carolina. You know, shameless plug there. If you ever want to come some Sunday, that'd be great. But, you know, yesterday I had that same question as we were doing, you know, our Wednesday night service. I was talking about it, and I was shocked at how many folks, number one, had been raised by their grandparents for various different reasons. But how many of those grandparents, they would read the Bible to them, they'd sit on their lap. One lady had this amazing story about her grandmother had this feather bed upstairs with this really cool old light that she would light, and then they would sit there and say their prayers, you know, "Now I lay me down to sleep." You remember that one? "I pray the Lord my soul."
Yes.
"If I should die before what?" Oh, no. It used to scare me every time. But anyway, then she would read them these Bible stories, you know. So how was your family's faith? How did that affect yours? So, Kevin, to start off with, right, you were born a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. Grew up in upstate New York. And when I was born, I had a deformed arm. From my shoulder down, the only thing normal size was my four fingers. My thumb was oversized and my arm. And I found out a couple years ago, after asking my mother, you know, what do they call what I have in my arm? She gave me the name, and it's a big, long name. So I just tell people I was born with a bad arm. But most people that are born with what I have in my arm also have cancerous tumors that grow so fast they don't make it past 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, and then, you know, neat story part of it, I think, was your father's best friend, right? He would come.
Yeah, my father's best friend, Uncle Mart, he came one night before I was supposed to have a surgery on my hand. And he read me the story out of Luke 6, where Jesus healed the man with a withered hand. And I remember having the childlike faith then that he read me that story. And I thought, well, when I go into the hospital tomorrow, I'm going to have the surgery and I'm going to come out and my hand's going to be cured.
Right. And he was what you felt like Jesus was going to say, "Stretch out your hand," right? Just like he did.
Yeah, I've always said that. You know, one day when I do see Jesus face to face, I was always waiting for him to say, "Stretch out your hand," and it would be made whole again.
And so for those of you who are streaming, you know, you can watch us on Facebook or on YouTube or any of those places. And if you were to see this, you'd know that Kevin still has the one hand, but he has another hand. And there's a lot more to this story, way more to this story. But before we get to that, we got Kevin. He's calling, and he's got a comment for us. Kevin, you're on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon. Excuse me, you're Matthew. My brain just checked out. Sorry, Matthew. Matthew, you're on Truth Talk Live.
Hey, my story is kind of short, but I was an atheist for years, all throughout high school. I'm 24 now. But when I was an atheist, my grandpa, I think it bothered him a lot because he was a devout Christian, a really good man. But he handled the whole situation, I think, with a lot of grace. And he never argued with me. He didn't, like, you know, he wasn't trying to force me to. There was no, like, conflict. Like, whenever I would go over there, he would just be really nice. He would pray at the table, and he would continue to do, you know, his normal activities as a Christian man. But, yeah, he just, he handled it with grace, and he prayed for me, too, a lot. And I found that out from my mom later. But, unfortunately, he passed in 2019, but I believe that his prayers led me back to the faith, and I think that he had a big impact on my life.
That is so. I'm so grateful you called in, Matthew, and it's so critical because I know my grandparents, my mother, you know, because I didn't come to Christ until I was in my 30s. You know, came out of the Church of Scientology. Talk about strange, you know. can you tell me the moment when you the moment where you felt like or what actually changed your life? I mean, how did you come to Christ?
I think that I had a lot of questions, and that was what led me to become an atheist in the first place, because I couldn't find any of the answers. But it was kind of more of a lack of patience on my end, because I just concluded, oh, I can't find the answers right now this second. You know, that means that, you know, from my perspective, I thought, oh, that means that there's holes in this, you know what I mean? Instead of looking at it from, like, okay, well, maybe I just don't have the answers. Maybe I have to, like, you know, dive a little deeper. And so I think I slowly kind of just, I deconstructed. I was an atheist for a long time. And then, slowly, like, those, questions that I had, I started to find answers for them, and I kept seeking, and I eventually found, the answers I was looking for. But I do believe, whoops, just hit a bump.
Oh, it's okay. <I'm driving> back.
But I do believe that, my grandpa, seeing the fruits of his life and how he lived, and you know, I think that had a really big impact.
That is so beautiful. What was your grandfather's name, Matthew?
His name was Gerald Hartsog.
All right, Gerald, right?
Yeah, Gerald. Yep.
Thank you so much for your call. We got a lot more coming up. We need your call. If you're sitting out there, you're thinking, man, my grandfather, my grandmother, 866-348-7884. We got so much more. Truth Talk Live coming up. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Truth Talk Live.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today's show, your family's faith. How did your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, maybe it was an aunt or an uncle, they had a huge effect on your life, maybe on your conversion, or maybe just as your young life. You know, my wife never remembers a time that she did not believe in God, but there were all sorts of people that played huge roles in that, and maybe you have that story. We would love to hear it. Your number to call in is 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And I was promising, we got Kevin Nywinning with us, and he has a story that, like man, there are so many facets. It's like a diamond. The more you look at the facets of his story, I think the more that you'll be amazed. But Kevin, to move fast forward, you know, we talked about your hand being withered at birth and those mm-hmm. 18 surgeries he went through,
right.
and hoping that Jesus would say, stretch out your hand like that. But then, as many of us, right, you got up in your teen years, you started, you know, struggles with alcohol and that kind of stuff. But this is when your grandfather's faith really kicked into the picture.
Yeah, and I remember as a kid, my grandparents living right across the street, I would go over there at night, and they were still old school grandparents, had the radio, no TV. And I would go over there with my grandfather and play caroms and listen to Unshackled every night.
Really?
Yeah. But I grew up across the street from my grandfather, and I was pretty much his shadow the whole time when I was a kid. But a couple days before he passed away, I'd been in a nursing home for 2 years, and I had gone to see him, and I remember him looking at me very weak. I knew he didn't have long. And he took my hand and squeezed my hand so hard I thought he was going to break my fingers. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, "Kevin, please just promise me you're going to be there with me one day." And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And it was about 2 days after that that he passed away.
So can you kind of describe your feeling as you walked out of the nursing home that day?
I walked out of that nursing home, and I thought to myself, yeah, I do want to be there one day. And I remember telling God, I don't know how to do it, but I want to be with my grandfather one day. I don't want this to be the last time I see him.
Yeah. And so at that point, you started visiting churches.
Yeah. Because of my bout with alcoholism, I had quit going to church. And there was another friend of the family that had actually switched churches from the church we grew up in. And they called me and asked me if I wanted to come with them to church, and pretty much told me, you know, give it one or two times. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to go again. So I did end up going to that church, got involved with a small group through kind of a different way, but got involved with the small group there, and actually at the small group is where I met my wife.
Ka-ching. So, you know, that's there you go. So that's definitely part of the journey.
Right.
But then your grandmother kind of kicked in there, you know, as well, right?
Right. My grandmother, she passed away in 2003, and she was 90 when she passed away. And I remember sitting there talking with her one time, and she said she was just ready to go because all her friends were gone, her siblings were gone, my grandfather was gone. But when she did go, I was in the hospital room with some of my other family, and you couldn't really hear what she was saying. It was kind of muffled because she had an oxygen mask over her. Mm-hmm. And I just remember hearing her say over and over again, "I just want to go home. I want to go home." And I knew she wasn't talking about her apartment. And I walked out of there and got that feeling again that, you know, when I die, I did want to go home. I wanted to spend my life in heaven. And I was over with the way I was living.
And it's amazing how God came from it. The story was far from over, because mm-hmm. his father would then have a part in his faith, and then, oh my goodness, we got a whole lot more. But we got my old friend, right? Buxman is in Ohio. So good morning. Why do I always say good morning? I don't know. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's always good to hear your voice. And the times when you accidentally say good morning, Brother Robbie. I can tell you're a pastor, brother.
It's always morning in my world. So what have you got for us today?
Today, and I do have a dad joke.
Oh, well, that fits with family, yeah, no doubt.
It does. But I got to say, before I give you my dad joke there, brothers, is Kevin's story about his grandpa is just so overwhelming to me that, along with Stu Epperson's mom, who was on with Stu a couple shows ago, Robbie, I want to adopt his grandfather, and I know he's with the Lord now. I want to adopt him as my grandfather. I mean, that's one awesome, awesome man. And I hope to be, Kevin, I hope to be that grandfather to my grandchildren, if my son or my daughter has grandkids. They're young, but wow, what a legacy. What a legacy, sir.
I appreciate that.
So, absolutely. So here's my dad joke, guys, because you guys are dads. So a kid comes up to his dad, and he says, "Dad, how much does a dragon weigh?" Brother Robbie, you want to take a stab at that?
How much does a dragon weigh? Something to do with scales, just saying, but I don't know.
Let's... You are such a dad, sir. That is excellent. Yes. I'll give it to you. It depends on the scales, son. I love it.
Yeah,
I
keep in my dad base.
I keep mine in my database. I think they're of the same company there.
I actually have a T-shirt. I wish I was wearing it today. That it says I keep my dad jokes in my database. And
you know what? If Nikita or Stu sends me a prize. If I get a question right, Robbie, I want that shirt. Tell Brother Stu, hey, just send Busman a shirt with the database on it.
I will tell him. That's what I will do that. Well, thank you for calling in, my friend.
Absolutely. Always great talking to you, my friend.
Same here. I've missed you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yep, it's always good to hear you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So what's your story? I mean, I know this is... you're remembering your grandparents, your mother, your father. How exactly did that impact your faith? As families do in so many different ways, you know, I have a feeling we may even be getting Rachel's prayers as the case. You got all these different generations. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And so, Kevin, to pick up your story, unfortunately, something tragic happened with your father.
Yeah, it, in 2005, he was in an auto accident.
Okay, so you can hear the music. It means we got to go right to a break. And so, yeah, in 2005, his father was in a very tragic auto accident, and we will pick it up from there, and we need your story. So this is a great opportunity during the break to call in at 866-348-7884. Your family's faith. Today on Truth Talk Live. So much more coming up. Truth Talk Live. Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today we're talking about your family's faith and how that faith impacted you personally. Maybe you had a grandmother that was praying for you. I know a dear friend of mine. His name is Gaither Markland. We've walked together for years and years, and he always talks about how his grandmother was just wearing out the carpet praying for him. he went overseas, and you know, and when he was in the war and that kind of thing, and he knew that his grandmother wouldn't want him doing this, and his grandmother wouldn't want him doing that, and you know, we just don't have a realization really,
right?
As parents and grandparents, we don't have to. I love what Matthew had said earlier. He said his grandfather never had to say anything in a cross way. He just knew where his grandfather stood.
Right.
And if your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids, for that matter, know where you stand, you have an effect on them when they know how much you love them, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure that a big part of your grandfather's message to you was his love for you.
Right.
And as Pastor Quartz used to say all the time at our church at Calvary Baptist 3 years ago, he would always say, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And you know, when you know your parents love you, or your grandparents love you. So I know you got a story. I know that's coming up. You know, you just don't know who you might encourage with your story. You call us 866-348-7884. And so we've got Kevin Nywinning with us, and Kevin is sharing his story that, believe me, we are far from the end of it. And so your dad was backing out of the driveway one day in 2005?
Yeah, and he had gone to work that day. He delivered auto parts for Napa. And he was pulling into the Napa parking lot, and he stopped to let somebody go by, and a big dump truck rear-ended him. And ended up in the hospital in intensive care for 3.5 weeks. And the Thursday before Father's Day 2005, he went home to be with the Lord.
And obviously you were close to your dad.
I was. And I had, when it happened, I'm ashamed to say it now, but I had so much hatred towards the person that hit him. to the point of I was obsessed with one day meeting this guy and putting him through the pain he put my father through.
And you sowed the wind, and unfortunately you reaped a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. And then about 14 years ago, in 2011, I was going to work one morning, and wasn't feeling well, and I ended up passing out as I was driving in the truck. And when I passed out, I ended up running a red light, hitting somebody and killing them. And 2 days later, this man's pastor called me to tell me he had a 10-year-old son that he left behind. And that 10-year-old boy wanted to know that he forgave me and held nothing against me. And it was like at that moment getting hit over the head with a 4x4, realizing that a 10-year-old just taught me something that a 40-year-old should have knew. And at that moment, I was able to forgive the guy that was in the accident with my father. And to this day, I've always said it, and I mean it, that if I ever did meet him, I would just grab a hold of him and ask for his forgiveness for the hatred I had towards him.
And how about the little 10-year-old boy? Have you ever met him?
I have never met him, but I did hear that he was getting ready. The last I heard anything about him was that he was getting ready to go to school to go into ministry.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That's the whole part of that is, again, it's God's mercy in a crazy way.
Absolutely.
And really, really difficult. But once again,
God was there and he was with me.
And your family played a huge, gigantic part in it. I mean, just did. And so
there's
one more aspect that, you know, if you were here at the beginning of the story, you know, I know a lot of folks are just getting off work and you may be just tuning in. We've got Kevin Nyewening. He doesn't have the easiest name to pronounce, but I'm working on it. Nyewening. Anyway, Kevin's story included that he was born with a withered hand, and sort of this situation where his arm was bigger than the rest of his, you know, body, so to speak. And so he had 18 surgeries. And if you had any surgeries as a child, you know that that's traumatic as it can be. And during those surgeries, his dad's best friend / uncle would come over and he'd read him the story of in Matthew
Matthew 6
where Jesus would tell the man to hold out his withered hand and healed it. And so that was your dream big time.
Yeah, it was. And at age 19 I also developed a condition in my hands called essential tremor, to where my hands started to shake, which made it difficult, because the older I get, the worse it got, the condition.
Right. And so this part of the story is really, really current, about the turn of 2024. What happened?
Yeah, so probably about 3 years ago, the tremors got worse and worse in my hands, to the point of this wasn't what I remembered as the tremors I had before. And through the process of tests and everything else for about 2 years, last December I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And they told me there was a surgery that could take care of my tremors. It was called deep brain stimulation surgery, where they put two electrodes into your brain, run it down to a battery pack in your chest. And they told me about it. I Googled it and watched the surgery one Saturday morning, which I don't suggest, but I did that. Thought there's no way I'm going through this surgery, but ended up having the surgery 4 weeks ago. And I always pictured the Lord saying, stick out your right hand and it would be healed. that morning, I was laying on the operating table. The doctor said he was going to start making the adjustments. Told me to put out my hand. I put out my left hand, and it was shaking so violently, I thought I was going to rip the IV tubes out of it. But he said, stretch out your arm. And I did. I watched him tremors go from shaking uncontrollably to a hand just as steady as could be. And I lay there and I realized that it was the doctor's words, but it was the Lord speaking through him. It was time, Kevin, stretch out your hand. And it wasn't the hand I thought of at the beginning, but it was the hand that I needed the most. And that hand became whole again.
And so for those on Facebook, hold up your left hand and let them see, man, it's there's no more tremors there. He's and of course, in his line of work, which, you know, he does repair work on garage doors and that kind of thing, right?
Which is all little nuts and bolts and wires. And
so that's a huge thing that, and again, I would imagine, you know, based on your whole life, you became very left-handed.
Yes.
And so your left hand is the way you're used to doing things. Mm-hmm. And having that one back is. And I love what you told me, you know, right before we went on the air, that God, and I love the way he gives glory to God in this, that God has shown you every day something new that you had forgotten you used to do.
Right. And I feel sorry for my wife for all this. I mean, I'm so grateful because she's been amazing helping me out these last few years. But the other night I was eating dinner and I started crying right in the middle of dinner. She asked me what was wrong. I realized I was holding the fork with one hand, eating with one hand, because before I had to hold it with two hands, hang my head over the plate, and that's how I ate.
Yeah, and then even tying your shoes, right?
Right. Well, my shoes were already pre-tied, so I could just slip my foot in. And the thing with this surgery, they said it would eliminate 75 to 90% of the tremors. And it made me realize how I've put God in a box because I prayed, give me some relief. I never thought to pray, God, take it away and do a miracle in my life, and that's what he chose to do.
So you feel like he's giving you 100% relief, right?
Yes, definitely.
Wow. Your family's faith today on Truth Talk Live. I know you've got a story. It's in there. You could encourage so many, like Kevin has encouraged me. And I know you would encourage me if you'd call. 866 is the number to call. 866-348-7884. So much more. Your family's faith coming up. Give us a call. Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today, the faith of your family. How did your family's faith affect you? What impact did that have on your life and your faith? The number to call in and share your story, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We got Mike is in Dayton, Ohio. Mike, you're on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, right, sir. Today,
Mike. You know, hey. Yeah.
Well, my dad was my mentor and my, my hero and everything. He's the one that led me to Christ.
Really?
And yeah, he was kind of he did some weird things. Every time he went to the bathroom and he was taking a dump, is that okay to say on the air?
You just did.
He would yell for us. He would yell. When I was 12 years old, he would yell and says, come here, let me talk to you. And I said, Dad, you're going to the bathroom. He goes, Dad, Mike, I want to talk to you. I would go, okay. And I would sit next to the door, and he was in there, and he was talking to me about things, you know, as he was going to the bathroom. And over again, he would do this, you know. And then one time my parents went to church, and I wasn't a Christian yet, and God was really on my heart. I mean, he was really pounding at me, and I went into the bathroom, and I'm on the toilet, And I said, God, I need you and I want you and I want you to be my savior. And on the toilet. And I remember the chills happening and me weeping and giving my life to Christ and everything. And I did that on the toilet. And I'm sorry, I'm a little embarrassed saying this on the air, you know, what happened. And then my parents came home and they looked at me and they says, there's something different with you, Mike. And I'm like, what? And I'm all happy, you know. And then they come, you got Christ in you. And I said, yeah, I am so happy. You know, and then, so it was crazy that I got saved on the toilet. You know what I mean? So, you know, and that was the way my father talked to us all the time. He was real intimate about when he was just talking to us constantly about work, about this, about that. And I was, you know, I was just talking to God. I said, God, I need you. You know what I mean? And I was like talking to my dad. And
you know, I think that there's something pretty profound there, Mike. It really is. Because, and I know that it may seem comical to some, but, you know, God never does anything just the way you would expect. You know, if you read the Bible, you'll notice that there's some pretty strange going ons, right? That Rahab the prostitute ends up in Jesus's genealogy, or you know, Ruth the Moabitess, who came from this incestuous, you know, troop of people in Moab, and all these shenanigans, right?
Yeah, right.
That led to miraculous stuff, and the Jews actually teach on this, Mike. You know, I love to listen to Jewish lectures sometimes. That there is such warfare, especially on the messianic level, that God would do things like that because Satan wouldn't try to interfere in this situation with this prostitute. I mean, that certainly couldn't be the right, you know, but because, you know, he kind of slipped that one through because the Satan wouldn't see the situation at hand. And so I picture you there, and I know the power of your testimony already through the emails I've gotten and people, you know, wanting to hear your story more, that it tells me that there was a lot of power there, and however it got done, the good news is I know from talking to you enough times, brother, you are in the – I mean, you are a full-fledged, on fire for the Lord, sharing your faith kind of guy. And
thank
the
you.
Fact that it happened that way, I think is really special, only from the standpoint of, you know, God's showing us all that, you know, he's bigger than all that other stuff that just runs through your mind that thinks you're not qualified, or you're not qualified right this moment because of where you happen to be.
Right, yeah.
That's just, it's really good stuff, man.
Oh, thank you. There were some intimate moments with my dad, and I don't know if that was the reason why I was there, you know, at the time. And my dad would pray with me there, you know what I mean? He would talk to me. He would spend time with me. He would witness to me there. It was odd, you know what I mean? That's kind of embarrassing to say, but my gosh, he spent time. You know, I mean, he was a busy man, just like everyone is. And then he said, hey, come here. I need to talk to you. You know what I mean?
I'd be with you like, man, I'll check back with me in about 10 minutes, Dad. I'm going
to be. Right, right. I tried to do that, but my dad was very dominating. You know what I mean? He was the head of the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. My dad was too. I get it.
You know what I mean?
Well, Mike, that is so powerful, man. I'm so grateful for your calling in today. And your story, as always, keep up the great work out there, my friend, okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Pray for you, too.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So there's one more part of Kevin's story that I think is absolutely beautiful, remarkable, that I want to make sure we get in to today's show, was your mother's faith, right?
Yeah. She just never stops praying. She showed me a notebook one time on her dresser that has all the kids' names, the grandkids' names. I'm going to get in trouble here. I don't know if she has the great grandkids' names. But she has taught me the importance of prayer. I remember at one point when I was deep in my alcoholism that somebody actually came up to her and said, "You're wasting your time praying for Kevin." And she looked right at the person and said, "Well, I feel sorry for you." And just kept praying. But I had the church I started going to, I met somebody there that worked with my mother for years at the hospital. And when I told this woman who I was, she broke into tears and told me the reason she got saved was because of the faith of my mother and watching her faith and her prayer. And I started going to a small group at this woman's house, and there was another woman there. And it was the same thing. And I started hearing these stories of people that she had worked with. Her first name is Marie, and she was known at the hospital as Mother Marie. I mean, when she came walking in, the coarse joking stopped. They knew. But I would hear story and story about the legacy she left there with her faith.
And they even heard her praying for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they all knew who I was.
And you know, it's a little uncomfortable. You know, when you hear Mike's story, it's a little uncomfortable, you know, to pray out loud.
Right.
It's certainly uncomfortable to talk to people on your on the toilet, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's just right. Interesting to me that as it turned out, both things had huge impacts, right?
Right.
That you know, you're in the break room and here's this person over here praying out loud. Well, I absolutely promise you that God loves to hear your voice.
And I'm not going to tell you how old she is, because she still does own a wooden spoon. But I guarantee she had been praying for me all day today for this.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And her prayers have been answered, because you certainly have told God's story beautifully, right? And it's just like, when we tell our stories, which I'm hoping somebody will still call in and share theirs, we've got a couple more minutes. You know, it's actually God's the hero of this story. You can hear it.
Right.
Right? You know, I was making all the bad decisions, and my mom was praying, you know, but God was the one who came in. And I love that part, stretch out your hand. Right? The doctor said it, but it was God fulfilling.
It was God fulfilling that hope I had had. From reading that,
from when you were a little kid waiting on that surgery, and your uncle saying the whole Matthew 6, right?
Right. And when I went last week, I actually went last week to the doctor to get the device that they have implanted programmed. And when I walked out, our pastor drove us there. They didn't want me taking any medication, so I still had the tremors going on. And when I walked out, my hand was steady again. And the pastor said to me, "So what does it feel like?" And I said, "The only way I can describe it is, you know, when you have a kid that's acting up, sometimes you just get to the point you say, 'Enough already.' I felt like when they're on the room and they found that perfect setting to where my hand stopped, it was like God looked down and said, 'Enough already. They're done.'"
Right. And the result is, right, that you got this hand.
I have steady hands now. You gave me a bottle of water. I could not do this a week ago.
Right. He's sitting there drinking, and it's beautiful. And I think we all take a whole lot of things about our health for granted, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
The ability to see. I have a friend who's had long COVID, had a couple strokes. He can hardly walk. But, you know, what I almost hate to see is he can't smell anymore. He can't taste.
Right.
Right? And one of the things I do is I delight in the morning to smell the stuff I put in my coffee. I like to.
And I understand that because of the Parkinson's now, I have lost most of my sense of smell.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Well, we need to pray that, Lord, we pray that you would help Kevin with this too, as you brought so many healing to all our lives. I thank you so much for family. I thank you for faith. I thank you for all the callers that called in today, Lord. And I pray through this.
This is the Truth Network.